Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show. It's brought to you along with Levi Solicitors, who will do you a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. 15% Rob off conveyancing, wills and
probate.
Yes. So good at this. You're miles better than Michael. I hope he doesn't come back.
I do feel the pressure, to be fair.
It's exciting, isn't it? It's an exciting moment. 15% off those services until the end of January 2023. levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan here, along with Rob Conlon and Moscow White as well. Daniel Chapman, Normanton making his way back from Mallorca, I think, as we speak, on Thursday, the 22nd of December. World Cup is done and dusted. World Cup diary, rest in peace for 4 years. He's gone into hibernation.
Celebrations look good.
Mm.
Looked like a chuckle.
Would have been nice, wouldn't it?
Well, it wouldn't have been like that.
No.
That's the thing. If you remember, the only sort of equivalent I can remember is England coming back from Italia 90 and Gaza wearing fake plastic boobs.
Mm.
Argentina seemed to take it to a slightly different level at the weekend, or even in midweek. Imagine that on a Tuesday. That would have been crazy. But the equivalent in London would just have been carnage, wouldn't it? There's no way we would have celebrated. We would have probably destroyed all the nice things.
I mean, to be fair, Lee Bowyer was comparing Argentinian fans to Leeds fans and saying we share the same passion. So Kirkgate would have been exactly like Buenos Aires, I think.
Well, the equivalent, so the England one, Gazza with his fake boobs, rubbish. Leeds winning the league in 1992, 250,000 people on the streets of Leeds outside the art gallery on the hedgerow looking at the players on the balcony. So Leeds would probably have celebrated it very well, but we would have needed Tyler and Brendan to win the World Cup for that.
And in London, it would have been flares in every orifice on camera. And no one needs that, not just before Christmas. No.
So a relief that we didn't win. And congratulations again to Argentina for celebrating it so well to the point that they had to stop.
If you want a last minute Christmas gift, by the way, we're selling gift vouchers and stuff on our website, aren't we?
Mm.
Gift certificates. That's fun.
Yeah. Cards, we're calling them.
Cards.
Yeah. Certificates a bit too formal. Certificates like you might, if you've done a good essay at school, might get a gift certificate. And the word voucher, something about voucher. I don't know. It's a bit like emerge. There's problems with it.
It's a gift card anyway. You can find it on the website if you want to get somebody a last minute gift for subs and mags and all that sort of
stuff. It's virtual, so it will go by email and you can choose.
Because there are no email strikes as far as we know.
No, those are still going on. And emails will still be delivered and you can choose which day the email will go. So you can have it arrive magically.
Christmas Day, for example.
Without even touching a computer. You have to touch it first to set it up, but then it will happen without you then doing more contact.
Thank you for clarifying that.
It's pretty good, isn't it, the internet?
Thesquareball.net for details on that. Just have a look at the shop. Plenty of other club are on there as well.
None of which will arrive for Christmas, should stress.
Last post is gone.
Yeah.
There are strikes tomorrow. We're not posting anything now.
Yeah, we can't get anything tomorrow. I've done.
By the way, but if you have bought something, by the way, either for yourself or as a gift or whatever over the last month or two in the run-up to Christmas. Prior to that, not bothered. But in the last month or two in the run-up to Christmas, thank you so much. It helps to keep us afloat and roofs over our heads, so we appreciate it. Into the re-season update then. We kick off again in 6 days' time. We do have the festive celebrations in between times, but this is about football, not about festive merriment. You're grimacing a bit, Rob. So we are fresh hot off the back of losing to Monaco by 4-2 at Elm Road. How was it for you?
First half was good. I really enjoyed the first half. I thought we were playing well. Scored a good goal from a set piece. Joffy could have had a couple. He was looking a bit more lively than usual.
Is that our new exciting 4-3-3 formation?
Well, that's the thing. Everything was new. And what I liked about it was that in the past, when Jesse Marsh has spoken about changing tactics or formations, there's been times when I've, after a game, I've like, oh, right, okay, we were trying to do something different. I didn't quite realise. Whereas that, I was like, I can see this is something different and I like parts of it. Rasmus Christensen, he was almost reprising that Jackie Harrison role he'd sometimes get under Bielsa, where he'd just say, you just look after the wing and we'll have players elsewhere.
Why do I feel like there's a buck coming here?
And I must admit, watching Rasmus in the first half, I think he nearly scored himself, didn't he?
That's a big chance.
Yeah.
Should have scored that.
Yeah. And then I think it was one of his crosses that Joffey nearly scored from?
Yeah, I think so. Or he played in Greenwood, it was that side was working.
But watching him bomb forward, I was kind of worried, thinking ahead to Man City, thinking, oh God, Man City's left winger could be licking their lips watching this. And then turned out Monaco's left winger was also maybe watching the same thing and spotted a potential weakness, maybe.
Yeah, there's sort of we're seeing like a 4-3-3 in attack and then 4-4-2 out of possession. Seems to be the general vibe from those what know what's going on.
It was not all over the place in a chaotic sense. We were definitely, there seemed at one point in the second half that if the ball was over on our right and
their left,
Monaco had it. No, so it would be Monaco's right. I'm trying to remember which way around the pitch was. If Monaco, no, because we were shooting that way. So let's see. Let's try and remember what was happening in the second half, which way we were going. Or was it the first half? Anyway.
Which player was in trouble on which side?
If Monaco had the ball on the right, we went into, I think at that point it was 4-4-2. And then if they switched to the left, we went into 4-3-3.
Okay.
What good that did is beyond me, because I need to maybe check Rennie Maric's blog archive to get down to the nitty gritty of what old. There was even a bit of 4-2-4 in there in the second half. We had, and I think that, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I can't weigh up where, as Rob said, sometimes you can't tell that we were supposed to be doing this. Whereas last night, it seemed absolutely abundantly clear what we were doing, because the players were just standing in lines 4 and 3 and 3. It's like, okay, this is very, very much a 4-3-3 right now. And then there would be a set piece. The game would stop and it would be 4, and then there's 2, and then there's 4. Right, this is absolutely clear. Nobody can possibly miss this. But there was like absolutely no element of intrigue or mystery to it whatsoever, which perhaps is why at the start of the second half, Monaco came out having their manager, Philippe Clément, just told them, like, why don't you just try going behind the fullbacks?
Oh, that old chestnut.
Yes.
They really played the hits with the goals they conceded. I think the first half, it was just that chipped cross to the back post, which often causes us problems. And then we had a set piece thrown in the second half, but the other two were the classic goal that we concede.
There's a man over there. Why didn't somebody get him?
At every age group. It's mad because you watch the 21s and they concede the same goal. And it was the fourth goal that really, I probably just laughed at it because I was just watching at home. And it's only a friendly, you can't get too upset about it. But we had five players trying to press the ball in the opposition half, yet none of them seemed to actually be going towards the ball. They were just sort of stood there looking at the players, and it only took one pass to cut through them. And then it was the same old chip over the fullback, ball in behind, over to the other post, and it's a tap in, which, yeah. So I was saying to you earlier, Moscow, it's just very strange to have a set of tactics where there is one such glaring, obvious weakness. It doesn't feel right.
You see it sometimes with Rasmus, and I felt it more in the Sociedad game because he had Luke Ayling inside him at centre back, as he did against Monaco, but it was more obvious that he was just ignoring Sociedad's left winger. Their left back as well, just kept coming up and he was going nowhere near them. And I felt I may have been misinterpreting it, like Luke Ayling was looking at him like, when I do right back stuff, I go a bit closer. But then Rasmus has played for Marsh long enough that if that was a problem, I think Jesse would have mentioned it by now. And certainly when he came off last night, Christensen went and sat on the bench and Marsh kind of just turned his back on the game and went and was like having a big long chat with Rasmus about, I don't know, maybe how we found the World Cup, whether he enjoyed training with Denmark, whether there was, any ideas he learned in Qatar that would be useful, or just what his plans are for Christmas. And then occasionally would look back at the match and see what was going on. But it would have been mentioned if it wasn't something that Jesse Marsh wants Leeds United to do. So we just got to deal with it. It's going to be a crazy ride.
That's the thing I think that worries people a little bit, isn't it? Everyone goes, it's only a friendly, But the fear starts to creep in when you see us conceding that same goal all the time and you have Man City looming on the horizon a week away. And I mean, let's face it, no one expects us to win that. However, you know, we've caused a couple of upsets this season, so why not? Why not get it up them a little bit? Maybe it will work. But when you see that same thing happen, you just kind of go, oh, God, the second half of the season could be a drag if they don't do something about that.
It's just difficult because I'm desperately still trying to work out whether we're good or bad. And whenever I watch him, I think, oh, they've played well now. I want to see him again now. Like, say, after the Liverpool win, and then the next hour against Bournemouth is horrendous. And then you think, oh, where are we at? And then, likewise, after this break leading up to the Elche game, I was like, oh, I'm excited for Leeds to come back. The World Cup's kind of petering out. Been ages since I've watched Leeds. They've had this break. There was all this talk of, you know, resetting and what have you. And then you watched the first half against Elche, and it was like, fucking hell.
We won, though. We beat Sociedad.
And then likewise, last night, though, I watched the first half and I was like, oh, this is new. This is interesting. I'm enjoying this. And then you watch the second half and you think, oh, the City game can wait now, actually. I'm not desperate to get to Elland Road, suddenly.
I guess the positives are that we've been trying some new things and at times they've worked. And we did win against Elche and we won against Real Sociedad and we scored 2 against Monaco. Slight suspicion that all Monaco had to do was try a bit harder to score 4, but we'll let that go. And after they'd had that flurry at the start of the second half when they ran into the 4-1 lead, it did kind of calm down a bit. There was a slight expectation because one of the problems is always happens when you start conceding goals like that. And we've been through it last season when you can't see how the goals are going to stop being conceded.
Yeah.
That feeling came back. But we did stop conceding them, so that was all right. And Wilf Nonto is rapidly making it clear that he's our best player, so that's good. And
he does look really good. It's worth spending a moment on that, I think. He's an exciting prospect.
It's not even an exciting prospect. I think he's even at the level he's at, he seems to be better than a lot of other players, which is mad. He's just making things happen every time he's on the ball. He had a run from, he got the ball basically near the centre spot and just set off on a run straight to goal, beat a few on the way and then was not far away from getting a shot at the end that would have been a little bit like Pascal Strouk last week, a waste of a great goal in a friendly. But there's lots of that. And even it's worth a moment. I mean, it's hard to see or to say like what the state of the game was in stoppage time. But Firpo coming on, going forward, very clever pass into Nonto, into the penalty area that got the foul, that got the penalty. So get Junior back in the team.
Mm-hmm.
Big pirate to centre-back with, I thought, well, Robin Koch played well again last night and got the goal. Liam Cooper played well against Sociedad. And then just try not to worry too much about what's happening with the full-backs because every team's got a weakness. That's ours. And we've managed to, I mean, we have won some games playing like that. We'll lose some games playing like that. I'm sure we'll win at least 3 before the season's out, so it's going to be fine.
I think we need a few more than that.
Well, so, yeah, but let's not, you know, get
when it comes
away.
To when it comes to Nonto, he's just, a phrase that's just come to me, he's an agent of chaos, isn't he? He's one of those players who, as Marcelo would say, unbalances the opponent, makes things happen, cuts through the lines, carries the ball through the lines, you know. So if the traditional passing patterns or whatever are not working, he just makes something happen because he runs at you and he's quick.
Yeah, there was lots of that from Aronson in the first half as well, where they just couldn't really get the ball off him without fouling, it felt. And that role that he was playing was interesting and kind of fun and made us seem to bring out the best in him. But a lot of it just kind of ended. Same with Nonto, actually. A lot of it just ended with them getting kicked or fouled, which was a little bit frustrating. But yeah, there were some good things in there. Like, I thought Joffy was a lot better as well.
He just needs a bit more confidence in the box.
Well, I'm hoping that penalty is just a goal. Come on, let's see if it kickstarts him a little bit. But I thought during the first half he was just running around a lot, and there were times where I thought, oh, he just looks knackered here. But then he just kept going, which I thought was a good sign.
You mentioned the big sexy pirate before there, Moscow. He's staying around for another few years. That's nice. He's got a contract until 2027. Pleased about that?
Very. I like him. He always plays well. He always plays. You know, we're criticising the fullbacks all the time. He is one of the fullbacks, but he never plays badly, even though things he does mean there are goals given up. It's quite hard. I think perhaps we all realise that he is a centre-half. And that's where we need to be. It's part of the modern game that I think more centre-halves go out and play wide. So it's not too unusual that he's being asked to do that, and he is doing it to a good level, keeping Junior Firpo out of the team. So that's a feather in his cap. So he's seen off that challenge. He's just a good player, still young, lots of potential, nice guy.
And there were flirtations with three at the back at different moments as well in this system. That's happened a bit, hasn't it, over the re-season friendly games. And you wonder, does Marsh perhaps have an eye on him as the left hand of the three at some point? And because now he's done a bit of left wingy, left backy stuff, he can kind of flip between the two, I guess.
There was a note in Phil Hayes' piece for The Athletic this morning, I think, saying that they've been practicing three at the back in training. Although we do kind of do it mid-game, depending on which side of the pitch the ball's on. And also, Marsh did it last season as well, didn't he? He went to three at the back when everything else stopped working. So yeah, maybe we'll do that again.
It's that thing of what we do when a fullback is attacking. And so far this season, there's been a tendency to let them both go and we just leave two centre-backs back. And that's when a pass out wide just works far too easily. Although, even when we do have fullbacks back, a pass out wide seems to work pretty easily as well. But it is it seems like all these changes that we've been seeing in the re-season friendlies are sort of geared towards making us more solid. So instead of both fullbacks bombing forward and we leave two centre halves, we have one fullback bombs forward and everyone else forms a three. And then three in midfield means instead of it just being Adams and Rocker trying to cover each side of the pitch themselves, we've got, well, we'll see who it is when Adams comes back and what we do in the Premier League. But having three players there means we can cover the fullbacks a bit more with one in the middle and just have a few more bodies in there. And then, because I suppose if you're going to be negative style about it, having so many players up front has not necessarily translated itself into scoring loads of goals. So if we maybe have one less in attack, be a bit more solid in midfield, and we still won't score any goals. So it's the same result, but we won't be conceding loads. But we might start, because it's only taking chances is the thing. It's like Gelhardt's chances against Monaco, whereas if he's just anticipated it going past the defender and instead of stopping and thinking it's not going to happen, then that's a goal. And perhaps Bamford can finish those. Perhaps somebody who we signed in January can finish those. Matteo Joseph could finish those. Gelhardt himself could start doing that. So we don't need, you know, Rodrigo and everybody else. Rodrigo could finish those. So we don't need lots of players in their penalty area. We need to stop conceding stupid goals, which hasn't happened. So we've done all these changes and they haven't worked, but you know.
But it might, yeah. It might.
It might. Manchester City, we may find it easier to make. But Strauch, he had a baby.
Did he?
He did. And that was good.
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He didn't tell anybody.
He had a baby in that film, didn't he?
His wife had a baby. And he didn't tell anybody. That was a nice story where I think it was because in Valencia he was explaining his tattoos to the journalists and was like pointing out, oh, this is, there was one where he's like, this is a lion because I am a lion, which was news. And this is the date that my child was born.
Big sexy lion.
And I was like, what child? Nobody knew he had a child because he didn't post anything on Instagram. He didn't do anything like that. He said, oh yeah, I put a message in the players group chat, but I didn't make a big deal of it. And I like that when you compare sort of the ostentatious world that so many footballers live in, and that with, if you have the face and mustache of a pirate, you could quite easily use social media to, you know, get a side gig promoting Chessington's World of Adventures. He's not done any of that. He's gone, no, I'm going to make sure my life is on my terms. And that bodes well if we want a squad of fine young men. There's not better than somebody with secret babies.
You think
as long as they're all like above board.
Legit babies.
Yeah.
Who's the sexiest lion, you think? Aslan. I was going to say Aslan's got to be a front runner. He's more noble than sexy, though, is Aslan.
He's noble, not sexy.
There's Bagheera, who's in the Jungle Book. Any vibes on Bagheera?
Don't really know much about
him. Mean, you're quite young, Rob. What do you think of the Jungle Book?
It's got a few good songs in it, actually. Is he a good one or a bad one?
I don't know. I mean, like, the Lion King is your obvious place to go for choice of lion.
Hmm. Is that a child lion, though? Simba?
Simba, he ends up as the Lion King. Obviously got something about him, hasn't he? Anyway.
Barry Gibb from the Bee Gees.
Mm.
Slightly lionish looks, doesn't he? I wouldn't be surprised if he suddenly announced, actually, I was a lion all along.
A bit like Noel Edmonds.
Yes. There's also
Noel Edmonds a lion?
Moonlights is one, I think.
Right.
There's the woman that Jimmy Nail sang the song about as well.
She's a lion.
She's lion. Yeah.
So thank you. One for the kids. I got the reference. Rob Sire going, what are they on about?
Yeah, I've worked it out.
You're a big Jimmy Nail fan. You love Our Feed the Same Pet.
It's more the theme tune that I'm here for.
She's a lion. That deserves more credit than it got. You can find us out of our natural habitat this week. Find us on the Don't Go to Bed Just Yet podcast by BBC Radio Leeds, where Michael and I went down to the radio station and took on Johnny Buchan and Simon Ricks from the Kaiser Chiefs in a quiz, a Christmas quiz, that was hosted by none other than Adam Pope. Here's a little taster.
First Jesse Marsh question, and buzzers at the ready, please. Oh. Jesse Marsh was in Peru recently in Machu Picchu, giving a best man speech. But which former Premier League manager has competed in the Dakar Rally and crashed out in Peru?
Former, did you say?
Former Premier League manager. Nose first into a sand dune. Managed two teams in the Premier League, both in London.
Is it Andre Villas Boas?
Point to the square ball. Do you manage to read my writing from there?
No. Well, thankfully, it was Bielsa who was overtraining them, wasn't it?
So yeah.
We have no injury problems now, which is great. It's great.
Will he be here by the end of the season?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just about. I think so.
Don't Go to Bed Just Yet, a Leeds United podcast from the BBC.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Earlier this year, the good folks at Boxed kept 100 Leeds fans fed and watered for 4 days to give us the energy to complete our 92-mile charity walk. These days, of course, the focus is on conserving energy and minimising waste, and Boxed have been sharing their tips to use your heating system as efficiently as possible to help keep your energy bills down. Upgrading to a new, more efficient boiler and using a Google Nest Learning thermostat could save you up to £1,150 a year. And upgrading your boiler to a brand new A-rated one couldn't be easier. Installations carried out by an expert qualified installer and included in the price. And 0% finance is available, subject to the relevant checks, of course. You'll get a fixed, fair price in just 90 seconds with Boxed. And as a listener to this show, you can save an additional £50 on your online quote by using the code TSB50. You don't have to walk 92 miles to do it. Just grab your phone, head to boxed.co.uk, that's boxt.co.uk, and use that code TSB50 to upgrade your boiler and save money now. When it comes to the resumption of the season, the re-season, as we've been calling it, are you looking forward to playing Man City? It's a bit of a stinker to kick off again with, isn't it?
Yeah, that second half doesn't fill me with anticipation for that game. But at the same time, I am excited for us to get back. I felt a bit of a lull this last week where the World Cup's tailed off.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, massively. I don't really know what to do with myself. So
it has enabled me to actually think about Christmas and buy some presents and things.
Yeah, I've still not quite got to that part yet. But getting into Elland Road will be fun. A full Elland Road, a bit of atmosphere again. Yeah, I am.
And then full time.
Well, you know what? There is a charm to that as well, getting that out of your system and having a bit of a moan and going for a pint. Oh, that's part of the fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more of, I think the reluctance, if there's any reluctance attached to it, that's maybe not the right word, but any reticence about going back, it's probably a wider comment on the state of the Premier League, isn't it, rather than Leeds United specifically. I And just that thought of, well, we don't expect anything out of this game. I mean, we might get something, but to go into it with no expectation of anything, I think it's a bad reflection on the Premier League.
Maybe we should expect more. I mean, Man City had, was it 16 players at this World Cup? It was a lot.
Tired.
I've just seen Jesse Marsh in his press conference saying he wishes they had more at the World Cup.
Well, there, I mean, there is the thing when you look at the squad that we named against Monaco, is we might as well have had them all at the World Cup because none of them are, they're all sick and injured anyway. So it could be that Manchester City's World Cup players are in better nick than ours. But
too soon for the Moscow. It's too soon.
Yeah, so that'll be good. And although Erling Haaland not being there, he's probably done nothing.
Out of practice, Moscow.
Nothing for the last 6 weeks apart from just leather footballs into empty nets.
He's been making fun videos for Sky Sports and things, hasn't he? Talking about missing his mates, and you know, he sat there on the tractor at the training ground, like waiting for his mates to come back and doing donuts or whatever.
Marsh, again, in his press conference, this happened just now, he said, Erling texted me when the schedule came out and said he was most excited for this game. He was born here. The club is in his heart. It will be important for us to manage him on the day. You have to have an awareness of where he is at all times. So the good news, we are planning for it. So we know that's good. Not like he's not bothered. So like we are going to be trying to stop Haaland from scoring is what I'm taking from that. Even though they're mates.
I'm really hoping he just does a bit of a Beckford when he used to come back to Elland Road. Thinks, oh, I like you too much. I'm not going to try or certainly put the ball in the net. But I think that might be a bit wishful thinking.
Me and my son have done, we've just done a season as Man City on FIFA and scored 110 goals with Haaland in the course of the season.
Yeah, he's a very good player, isn't he? It's Manchester City's strengths on whoscored.com do now include finishing scoring chances very strong. I think that might be. Also, creating chances using through balls is very strong, which I think he's helped them with that.
Are you going to tell me in summary that they're quite good at stuff? Because this doesn't feel like new news.
We're not very strong at anything.
Right.
We're strong at four things. Creating long shot opportunities, which is always one of my favourites from Who Scored. It's like, oh,
yeah, it's not actually taking them.
We're pretty good at teeing people up from 50 yards, have a shot. Coming back from losing positions, which could be useful, aerial duels, and stealing the ball from the opposition. So I think that last one is very much something Jesse will be proud of. So we're strong at four. Manchester City are very strong at four things, and then are strong at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other things, which...
That feels like more than us.
Yeah, it's too many. We are very weak at two things, which is protecting the lead and defending against skillful players. And then weak at two others. Manchester City are not very weak at anything. However, they do have two weaknesses. So this is where we need to stop them.
Is it just love scoring goals? Is that one of them?
They're just too good and beautiful and generous. Defending counterattacks they're weak at, so that could be useful. And they're weak at stopping opponents from creating chances. So there's some hope there.
And yet, because this is football and we've seen earlier in the season, if you catch people on the right day... You never know, do you?
I mean, the season so far has been a story of us being good against Chelsea, Arsenal, even though we lost, Liverpool, and who else did we play that was good that we beat? Spurs, we didn't beat them, but 3-4 was probably the signal that we needed to start playing 4-3-3 and tighten up the defence. But we've been all right against the hot shots of the division, haven't we? And then it's teams like Fulham and Bournemouth and all that kind of where we've really...
The grind.
Yeah, we've really struggled and Crystal Palace and all that kind of thing. We've never looked as good. So there is genuine possibilities there that Manchester City and then Newcastle afterwards will bring the best from us. And probably we have to play Manchester City twice at some point during the season. The first game after the World Cup technically should be the one where you can catch them while all their players are still recovering. Certainly the Argentinian contingent, I don't think shouldn't be expected to play. And we should have been well rested. It seems like instead we've gone for the option of
illness.
Yeah, everybody's just got weird sicknesses and injuries.
No Sinistera, I should say. He's mentioned in the presser today there's no Sinistera.
Yeah. Well, there's a few of them that we knew were going to be quite long term. Like Sinistera was always going to go into the new year, wasn't he? But
he's been talking up Click as well, we should say, saying it might be too soon for him to leave. But there has been an inquiry from. Washington, is it Washington that are
The Rooney Crew.
The Commanders, or whatever they're called. I know you love a website, a statistical website, Moscow, mm-hmm. as we've discovered in recent weeks. 538.com, I've run this through
My favourite.
Through there. I say there, I'm going to do air quotes now, supercomputer.
Yes.
And they reckon we've got an 11% chance of beating Man City, who have a 74% chance of beating us, and there's a 15% chance of the draw.
Whatever. Click has looked quite good in the re-season. I think there has been the... Marsh is right. I think it is too soon for him to leave, but Marsh has got to then back that up by actually playing him sometimes. It's not going to be good enough again for him to say, oh, he's a great guy, because he's saying that as well. He's a great guy and love having him around, and he's got lots to offer and he shouldn't leave yet. Play him then. Let's... And 4-3-3, Sam Greenwood seems to be an option in there, but if it's going to be Adams and Rocker, and then it's up between... Forshaw will be your substitute Adams, so he'll probably be playing against Manchester City. So it should be Who Scored need to update and say that one of our strengths is going to be
midfield dominance,
moving in a circle in the around the centre spot, and then. But Click has more of a chance of getting into the team if we start doing 4-3-3. So
I saw, I think it was Barry Douglas on Instagram this morning commenting on a photo of Adam Forshaw calling him the Scouse Busquets.
I mean, I like Adam Forshaw. I do enjoy sort of making fun of him. But he's giving the ball away a bit against Monaco, but he was also playing some good.
He's normally quite tidy
balls.
In possession as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I've been reading a few bits saying that he's not been that great in these last few friendlies, which is why I thought first half last night he looked better. He was crashing into a few tackles. There was one in particular that he flew into, and I thought, no, Adam, have you learnt nothing? It was only the other week he was saying he needs to start being a bit more sensible and kind of not putting himself in positions where he's clearly going to get hurt, and then he threw himself into a challenge. I thought, oh God, here we go again.
Yeah, we had the real... Did he bring on Llorente for sure?
No, he
brought... They played together for a while, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had those pleasures with Llorente needing like six touches to try and pass into midfield so that Forshaw could turn around and give it back to him.
I did feel sorry when Llorente came on and we immediately conceded three goals, which...
Pure coincidence. And he set up a really good attack. There was the one bit where he sort of almost gave the ball to their striker, lunged in on him, and I thought he was going to go straight through his knees and get a red card, but instead he won the ball and then it bounced off and we attacked from it. So it was obviously a ploy.
There's still time for that red card. Don't worry.
Thoughts on the transfer window then? Jesse, I like these comments because you can read so much between the lines on these. Here's how I want to deal with this transfer window. Obviously we're being active, but I want to avoid from talking about it because it becomes a lightning rod. I need to keep our attention squarely on our group and our progress. I want to avoid from talking about it.
He was also, before the World Cup break, he was asked about the transfer window and he says, yeah, we're active and I'm not going to say much about it. But then he did, like the very next sentence, he basically said, yeah, we want a striker. I don't know, I kind of think everyone talks too much about the transfer window, so I wouldn't actually mind Jesse butting in it for a bit. But again, I think it's in Phil's Athletic piece today. He talked about a left back and names Kai Wagner as one of those options. So you'd think they're going to not ignore the complete obvious.
And Kai Wagner is married to Pierre-Michel Lasoga's sister. So it's absolutely written. He'll get a great review from Lasoga, can phone up his brother-in-law and say, how was it? And he'll say, best years of my life. We're in Leeds. And he can only imagine it'd be better in the... Premier League. But yeah, so there's that connection exists. So I think we should sign Kai. It must be Wagner. You know, you're giving him a full W. But I've got absolutely no room to throw any stones. But we should sign him just for that.
Yeah, I'm very similar in that the whole transfer window dynamic now just makes me want to cry. I'm just bored of it. I'm bored of saying sign a left back. I'm bored of saying sign an attacker. I'm just bored of the I'm bored of the Premier League already, and it's not even started yet. Go away.
I've really enjoyed Wolves signing Cunha before the window's even opened. It's like the one kind of star player you might be signing who's not actually scored a goal this year.
Yeah. And is a wild deal, by the way.
All that excitement, though, of pre-transfer window. Are we going to get Cunha? And then it's like, you know, it's still two weeks or something.
I mean, I will chat to Phil about this. I'm recording the Phil Hayes show after you chaps depart this studio in about 20 minutes or whatever. I will ask you about that because he mentioned, like, there was talk of a fee of around 15 million and suddenly it's gone up to 40 million out of nowhere.
It was 52 yesterday.
Yeah, I think George
Mendes... And he still hasn't scored any goals.
George Mendes with his sticky fingers all over this one.
Well, you think he'd knock a bit off, wouldn't you? Because they've absolutely done them out of the money.
Or maybe it is 15 million and the rest is for Mendes. You don't know, do you?
Maybe it's creative accounting. I mean, those are big claims that I'm glad that I wish to disassociate myself from legally. But yeah, his record, it's one of these.
I mean, agents get commissioned, don't they, all the time?
He's got, I mean, last season for Madrid in La Liga, 29 games, 6 goals, 4 assists. And then this season, no goals in 11 games, 2 assists. Those numbers, they're not enough for 50 million. However, you know, if we'd signed him, it probably would have carried on like that. But what's going to happen is he'll go to Wolves and he's going to start scoring goal after goal after goal after goal. And he will be the curse upon us. Why didn't we sign Cunha?
Another bloody unicorn.
And the reason we didn't sign him was because he didn't score. Well, for one reason, he didn't score any goals before going to Wolves. And then also he was £52 million. But I just get the feeling that, yeah, it's written that he will be upsetting us. Players, whoever we sign, there will always be another player who got linked, who will be presumed better. That was one of the things that was maybe interesting about the Monaco game, that they had Mo Kamara in midfield. And there was a lot of noise when we signed Tyler Adams that we should have spent, I think it was it double for Kamara? And so he's obviously the better player and he's got, you know, he's so much better at Leipzig and stuff.
Did he go for less in the end? he went for less than Adams. Adams was 20 million and he went for about 16 in the end.
Well, he didn't look as good.
Right.
I didn't think he was very good last time. Monaco as a whole didn't look very good.
What did you think of the kit setup? Because we did discuss this in the preview.
Absolute disgrace. And the whole thing should have been stopped before it started.
I wonder, and we said we would have accepted Monaco in their red and white diagonal quarters, halves, whatever they are, and us in the disco yellow kit. That didn't happen.
No.
So it should have been us in our home kit. But if we'd have been in our home kit, it would have clashed with their terrible lilac third kit. Although it did sort of, there was a little nod of the cap towards the home kit, wasn't there, with the diagonal halves, if you like.
I guess so, but it was black versus purple, which is just bruise.
That's not Leeds versus Monaco, is it?
No, I think I said they should have.
Monaco should have been in there. In fact, Leeds should have been in the kit that you're wearing, which is the Thistle Hotel's blue and green one. Moscow.
Even the Adidas one from the other season, just to psych them out.
Yep. Asics. I mean, Adidas wouldn't have been happy if we'd have turned out in an Asics kit, would they? From the, 20 years ago. 25 years ago. Shit, we're old.
Yeah. It's Monaco were the game was delayed 5 minutes kickoff because Monaco were late, apparently. Put that over the tannoy. So just to make sure nobody blamed Leeds. Kickoff has been delayed by 5 minutes because Monaco are late.
Roadworks. There's roadworks at junction 2 of the M621.
But I think we should have used that extra 5 minutes to sort of check what they were wearing and then just postpone the match.
Right. Just send them away. Say, you've turned up in that. You're not wearing that. Off you go.
Yep.
Because we were in the pyjamas. We were in Sammy's pyjamas, weren't we?
Yes. That's the known.
The black and charcoal and orange. Well, it's back underway next week. Anything to add before we head off to Christmas and some turkey?
I don't know. It's going to be weird. I feel very out of sync with the football world without Leeds United being doing anything for the last 6 weeks. And then they've sort of come back over the last week. And it's all been quite nice with, like, you know, Jesse Marsh turning up on the tour and then
the open training as well,
and all that kind of stuff. All very jolly and positive. But then, yeah, you go and throw in 3 easy goals in 10 minutes against Monaco. And it's like all that good stuff.
Out the window. Christmas, everyone.
All the good publicity from Valencia and all that kind of stuff. Nobody cares anymore because we had 2 keepers on the bench. We didn't have a full quota of players in the squad. Everybody's injured. Everybody's sick. They're lying to us about the injuries. They won't tell us who we're signing.
Why haven't the 49ers taken over yet?
Yep, all of this. And it's all back. And then we're going to play Manchester City and we're going to win 2-0.
Rob?
Haaland won't score.
I don't know if Moscow's been on the Christmas drink, on the old eggnog yet, but what do you say to that?
I mean, I'm sat in Michael's chair. I am meant to be pessimistic here.
Oh, imitate him. I have enough dealing with him.
I'll be slightly more pessimistic than Moscow, but
you're
saying
1-0, 1-0.
More optimistic than what Michael will have been. I'm going to say we're going to draw 1-1.
Yeah, that could happen. I'd take that. And I can see it happening. I know there's a lot that's kind of come off the back of that Monaco game, and it all feels very, there's a lot of concerns. But they're not necessarily anything new. Like, all season, we haven't had a striker and a left back, and we've had loads of injuries, and we've not been defending down the wings. So it's all just the same. But we'll be playing 4-3-3, and that might be the big thing that changes everything. Yeah. And then, January, imagine it, first week, Kai Wagner will re-sign Pierre-Michel Lasoga. There you go, left-back striker. And it's all in the family, and it'll be great.
Lasoga's mum as well, because they're very, very close to the son, as the photos would show.
Bamford could get fit. I'm saying it.
He has been on the eggnog.
I'm definitely not that optimistic.
So I'm guilty already of wishing away the season, which you always tell me off for, Moscow, every year that this comes around. But it's just because of the mindset I'm in now, in this kind of hinterland between the re-season friendlies finishing and the season starting again against Man City. I'm already thinking, well, let's get to the end of January, see what the squad looks like, and get past these first couple of difficult games or whatever. And then once we get past January, hopefully we'll be safe, we'll be in decent shape, get to the summer, assuming that's the point at which the 49ers take over at the latest, and then we can start to look to the future. But it's always on the never-never. It's always further down the road. I'm trying desperately to enjoy the here and now. But they do make it difficult sometimes, don't they? Sometimes they make it difficult.
If Jesus can be born to a virgin in a stable, then Pat Bamford can be fit in January. So believe. It's time for Christmas, time for miracles, time for gold, frankincense, myrrh.
Weren't there a load of donkeys involved in that story, though?
Well, Pierre Michel Lasogre is coming, so that's all taken care of. And yeah, there were donkeys, there were kings, there were stars, there were friendly people, well, there were unfriendly people with hotels, and there were friendly
that's
people.
That's Ken Bates, isn't it?
And then there were friendly people with stables and cattle lowing.
There were indeed, yes.
So it's all going to be fine. All of those things mean Leeds United will have a great 2023.
Excellent. Look out for our Christmas quiz as well over on the Extra Ball. A little bit of festive fun for you that myself, Moscow and Michael did just last week. So that'll be out for Christmas. It's very festive. It's a video quiz, isn't it, as well, which is exciting. Michael's used some dreadful AI to superimpose Leeds United managers, players, that sort of thing, onto the heads of terrified children sat on Santa's knee. And it's a spectacle, isn't it?
One way of putting it.
Merry Christmas. If you're celebrating, Happy Hanukkah as well. And in the meantime, just have a nice time. Let's hope everybody has a nice time when we start again next week, eh? Merry Christmas. We'll see you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.